Are You Together? The writer Don Herold has said, intellectuals should never marry, they won't enjoy it, and besides, they should not reproduce themselves. That may be a rather severe judgment. Nevertheless, it is true that nowhere is the war between men and women fought out more fiercely than at the intellectual level, whether within the perhaps outmoded concept of marriage, or in any other socio-economic agreement between tactile interacting cohabitants. So we thought there might be some psychotherapeutically supportive value in the presentation of a short quiz to help you clarify your status in and suitability for any battle in which you are currently engaged. The questions have been prepared for us by E.S. Turner, and those addressed to women are put by Richard Bryars, and those to men by Prunella Scales. But because of the androgynous, if sexually chauvinistic times in which we live, you will notice that many of the questions are open to the concept of role exchange.
According to Oscar Wilde, to be intelligible is to be found out. Is this a fair dictum? Keep your answer short and intelligible.
According to Arthur Koestler, there never was an intelligentsia without a guilt complex. It is a professional disease. Describe not more than six of your current guilts or neuroses and state which of them you most enjoy.
As a woman, how do you regard yourself in the scheme of things? As some sort of cosmic joke? As a great biological disaster? As a male with brain damage? Or as a primary force for social and cultural advancement with a touch of Babylon and Soho thrown in? If none of these is applicable, how else would you categorize yourself?
As a man, discuss the following statement. Liberty is the battle cry of the noble. Lib is the battle cry of the ignoble. Give some account of the stages by which you think women's lib came to stand for women's libido.
Can you advance any theory as to why women lag behind men in the ability to talk wittily about wine? Is there any inherent defect in women to prevent them pronouncing on the sincerity or otherwise of supermarket plonk?
Man's capacity for abstract thought has made little or no contribution to human happiness, except insofar as it has enabled man to achieve a lasting intellectual ascendancy over woman. Discuss.
Give an account of the reasoning which led you to burn your bra. Would you say this gesture has enabled you to advance more confidently through a socio-cultural thicket of ambivalences to the point where you can transcend self? Or has it just left you feeling a bit cold?
Chaucer asked, what is better than wisdom? And answered, woman. What did Chaucer mean by this? Was he looking on woman purely as a sex object, or did he regard her as a gentle solace to the scholar ravaged by the fierce intellectual life? From your knowledge of his writings, do you think Chaucer was willing to admit women to full membership of the human race?
Rousseau said, women ought to have but little liberty. They are apt to indulge themselves excessively in what little is allowed them. Think carefully about your past behavior, with a special reference to commemoration balls, publishers' parties, and Fabian summer schools, and state whether, in your opinion, the restrictions recommended by Rousseau require revision.
You have been invited to appear on any questions. The first question from the audience is, do the members of the panel use a hot water bottle in bed, or do they just put their feet on their sleeping partner? Draft reply which combines a freezing minimum of politeness with a rapier-like wit, a reply which expresses your sense of outrage at being called upon to waste your talents on an audience of morons, and which at the same time respects the privacy of your own sleeping arrangements.
What are the pitfalls to be avoided by a woman intellectual who attempts to face the world as a groovy chick?
In a high-table discussion, a famous academic said his idea of total intellectual disgrace would be to be caught stealing a book about royalty on horseback from a bookshop. Another academic said he would find it infinitely degrading to live in Wembley in a semi with a ding-dong doorbell. Give three examples of behavior which you would regard as leading to intellectual ruin and extinction.
A popular school of thought believes that the salvation of humanity lies in the cultivation of an androgynous lifestyle, a unisex commonwealth of nations, an epicene world in which the sexes are depolarized and all the labors of life are shared by male and female. In other words, a world without gender in which everyone wears tight jeans with the same picture on their buttocks. Discuss the advantages and disadvantages of such a world from A, the female point of view, B, the male point of view. Indicate how you would prevent this ideal world from being ruined by groovy chicks.
Your wife taunts you because her brother, who is a journalist, takes only 3 hours to write something which is read next day by 3 million people, whereas you, an intellectual, have taken 3 years to write a thesis which has been read by 6 people. Describe, as if to an inquiring student, the spiritual satisfaction of spending 3 years in an intellectual vacuum.
Draw a simple sketch of symbolic flower arrangement in the Japanese manner, in which radical chic and rationality are linked by the theme of responsible permissiveness.
Your wife complains that you are going round saying that every painting and every piece of sculpture has resonance. What do you mean by resonance? What do you think other people mean by resonance? Is it an expression that you have picked up from the Quality Sunday newspapers? If not, state where you picked it up and why it is so necessary to you.
Your husband is a liberated thinker and apostle of a new freedom. Latterly, he has been talking a good deal about the anti-life modalities, which in his view stand as an obstacle to human fulfillment. And more recently still, he has been coming home late with the story that he has been widening the frontiers of compassion and coming to grips with the human predicament. State briefly what you think he has been up to.
Your wife is casting doubts on your integrity because you have accepted a fee of $1,500 to write a learned article for a magazine which sells on full frontal nudes. The editor's policy is to try to give an aura of intellectuality to his pages in order to disarm those critics who accuse him of publishing pornography. Your wife takes a rather old-fashioned view and says that this puts you in the position of somebody playing the piano in a brothel. Write a short, reasoned justification for playing the piano in a brothel.
Your husband unexpectedly brings home Germaine Greer to dinner. As you prepare the meal, they dazzle each other with the wild exuberance of their free-ranging philosophies. Gradually, from their conversation, you form the impression that they are getting at you. They use expressions like spiritual cripple, sex object, and complacent vessel of lust. Which of the following courses would you adopt? A. Say, pardon me, I'm only a quirk of biology. B. Accuse them both of strabismic insensitivity. C. Sit gaily on your husband's knee, ruffle his hair and play the little woman. Or D. Go back into the kitchen and spit in the soup.
Your wife has begun to take an interest in Oriental mysticism. When you ask her, what's that noise? She replies, I heard only the primordial vibration of the absolute. Later, when she gets up to go out, you ask, where are you going? And she replies, to seek the unmanifested root of objectivity. Describe how you would deal with the situation, A, in private, B, in front of your fellow intellectuals.
According to Susan Sontag, the intellectual should not be worrying about pornography, but about the quality of pornography. State what you and your husband are doing to improve the quality of hardcore filth.
Give an account of any native fertility dance in such terms as would hold the attention of a Hampstead dinner party. Avoid using words resonance and tangency, but incorporate mimetic and paradigm. Bear in mind that your wife will be present on this occasion.
Your husband keeps detecting multiple levels of meaning in everything and spotting allegories even where no allegories are intended. He sees syndromes and symbols everywhere, especially phallic symbols, and is always diagnosing anxieties in others, especially castration anxieties. His best friend describes him as a self-intoxicating sialist. Do any of these tendencies cause you concern, Or are they, in your opinion, essential to good intellectual health?
You have been worried as to whether your wife has the capacity or even the inclination to relate to the working class. You suggest that she is making no real effort to lead office cleaners and fishwives along the path to sexual self-determination. At this, she sneeringly asks you how many truck drivers you have related to lately and how they responded. State how you would resolve this dilemma you have brought on yourself.
In breach of a solemn truce, your husband has taken to quoting Kierkegaard and Wittgenstein at breakfast. You have tried coming back with Marcuse and Lady Strauss, but it only makes him worse. Which of the following observations do you favour as a reprisal? A. Darling, get knotted. B. Darling, there's nobody here but me. C. Darling, you've got egg all over your parameters. D. Darling, I forgot to take the pill all last week.
Your wife, who is both an attention seeker and an underachiever, has lost much of her articulacy. This is a result, she says, of being tied to the sink all day. Furthermore, she complains that your torrents of verbalizing are bringing her out in spots. By accident, you discover that she has bought a packet of stick-on boils and warts from a joke shop. Also, a packet of nasty nose drips as yet unused. When you tax her with this deceitful conduct, and also with drinking South African sherry on the sly, she says she was uttering a cry for help. Discuss her conduct within the wider context of the suitability of women to overthrow male supremacy and restore gynocratic rule.
Your husband wants to take you to yet another play in which the actors revile the audience and throw garbage at them. Give three reasons for declining, which will not stamp you as insufferably bourgeois.
Your wife has returned from a jumble sale with a flight of three china geese, which she wants you to fix to your living room wall. She says china geese are now high camp, and that if you put them on your wall, you will demonstrate your witty appreciation of the banalities of mass culture. You suspect, however, that she has a secret passion for china geese as such. Outline the arguments by which you would strive for a mutually satisfactory solution to this problem.
You have had a furious quarrel with your husband, who denounces you for taking a moral stance over something you saw in a film by Buñuel. He says that a person capable of striking moral attitudes is unfit to be mother to his children. Write a short, passionate speech of protest, concluding with a plea to be allowed a second chance.
When Madame de Staël called at Blenheim Palace and asked to see the fourth Duke of Marlborough, the Duke, hearing that this intellectual dragon was at the gates, withdrew into a corner of the palace and cried in anguish to his servants, "Lock me up, lock me up." Are there any female intellectuals today from whom you would wish to be locked up, and if so, why? Are there any female intellectuals you would wish to be locked up with?
Your 9-year-old son has been invited to review a children's book for a Sunday newspaper. His notice is not only trite and naturally illiterate, but reveals an attachment to middle-class values. Your husband wishes to rewrite it, but you insist that this would be dishonest. He asks if you have any better suggestions. Have you?
Finally, are you afraid of Virginia Woolf? It is assumed that your answer will be untrammeled by fashion, censorship, good taste, or common sense. Nevertheless, please make sure that it does not appeal only to the cognitive minority who may not be listening now anyway, since they claim only to switch on to Hans Keller, John Peel, or Planet of the Apes.
That quiz for intellectual cohabitants was compiled by E.S. Turner, and the questions were read by Richard Browers and Prunella Scales. The producer was Patricia Brent.